The views presented today are those of Crystal Langdon of Crystal Clear Finances and do not necessarily represent the views of Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC. Have confidence facing financial decisions and learn the steps that are right for you. Join us for the next 30 minutes as certified financial planner Crystal Langdon helps make finances crystal clear.
Welcome to Crystal Clear Finances. My name is Crystal Langdon, and I'm going to be your host for the next 30 minutes as we provide financial clarity so that you can have confidence facing every financial decision. Well, today we're going to be talking about the stock market. We're going to be talking about the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the S&P 500. And we want to talk about it in a way that finally makes sense so that when you think about the stock market, you guessed it, it's going to become crystal clear. So let me start with this question to you. Have you ever wanted to sell things? I know with the pandemic that went on, a lot of people were stuck at home where we had to shelter in place, and they looked at the house, they looked at the rooms they were in, and they said, oh my word, this is way too crowded with all this extra junk that I've bought over time. I think I'm going to get rid of it. So as you drove through neighborhoods, you could see that there were piles at the end of people's driveways waiting for the garbage to be picked up and thrown away. You could go on Facebook Marketplace and all of a sudden you could see lots of things that were listed for sale. And as the weather became nicer, you could see that there were garage sales all over because people wanted to get rid of stuff that once they felt was very valuable to them. They probably paid top dollar for it. And now, well, it's lost its appeal. It wasn't working for them, and they wanted to get rid of it. Now, the problem is, in order to get rid of it, what do you need to have? Well, you need to have someone who sees it and says, oh my goodness, this is a steal of a deal. I would love to have what you are getting rid of. And so when you have a garage sale, isn't that what's happening? You put your stuff out there, you kind of arrange it and get ready for the rush to come at 8 a.m. Or if you have those people who come early at 7 a.m. to get the deals, you put everything out and you wait for the people to come and then you begin to bargain, right? You go back and forth. You barter on what you're going to do, or you say, okay, this is going to be $10, and then you agree on $7, or however you like to do your garage sale. But the point of the matter is this. You have something that you purchased that you no longer want that at one time met a need in your life. You have the option to get rid of it. And so you decide, I'm going to try to sell this so at least I can make some of my money back. And the reason why we want some of that money back is because we're going to turn around probably and buy something else somewhere else, right? We're tired of the vase that we have now. So we're going to sell that and go buy a lamp someplace else. And it takes two people in that transaction, one to give something and the other to want to buy it. And then when you're done, it's a win-win, hopefully, a win-win situation. You also need a place where you can do this exchange, right? You need to be able to have your driveway where you're going to have that garage sale so that you can get rid of the things you don't want and people can come buy it. Well, the same thing happens with the stock market. There are companies that are out there that have stock in their companies, pieces of their company that they're willing to sell. And they say, you know, I think that my company is worth $25 a share. And of course, I'm being very facetious. They go through all types of calculations. But for an example purpose, this is what happens is they figure out a price for their stock, the piece of their company, and they put it out at the garage sale, which just happens to be, in most cases, the New York Stock Exchange. They go someplace where they can exchange it for someone who says, you know, I just happen to be looking for a piece of stock like that. I would like to add that to my portfolio that meets with what I'm looking for in my retirement plan. And so then someone will purchase it from this exchange where they're exchanging pieces back and forth, and it's a win-win situation. Now let's go back to our garage sale example. Let's pretend that you have this beautiful vase that you purchased and you said, oh, I don't want it anymore. I need a lamp instead. So I'm going to sell my vase so I can go buy a lamp. And you put it out in the garage sale. You advertise it. People come and they look at the vase. It's marked $10. And they say, oh, well, I don't think it's worth $10. I only think it's worth $5. And you're like, well, then I'm just going to wait because it is worth $10. And you hold out all day long. And at the end of the day, if people have come and gone, they keep offering you $5 and you say, no, I'm not going to do it, then you're not going to be able to sell it, are you? Right? You end the day with your $10 vase. Maybe it would have been better to sell it at $5 if you really wanted to get rid of it. So there has to be a price that's agreed upon that people see the value in it so that they'll go ahead and buy it. So let's bring this back to the New York Stock Exchange. There has to be a place where we can buy and sell goods. And what happened was, if we go all the way back to the beginning, when we look to see when it first started, we know that there was a group of individuals that in 1792 had been buying and selling pieces of companies, tobacco, they were selling sugar, they were selling all kinds of things, and it was kind of hodgepodge. There was no real rule, kind of like when you go to a garage sale that's right next to each other, and you have one, and everything there is $50, and you look at them and say, really? This is a garage sale. And then you go right next door to the other one, and they're like giving it away for pennies. And you're like, now that's a good deal. Well, that doesn't work for the two garage sales next to each other because there was no level playing field, right? So in 1792, 24 individuals got together and said, hey, listen, we're all trying to do the same thing. We're all trying to have a garage sale here, but we need to have the same type of regulations. We need to make sure that we're charging our customers the same amount. And we need to agree, hey, let's agree that it just be between us. We're going to have a group, and if people want to be involved, if they want things sold, they're going to have to deal with us. And so what they came up with is the Buttonwood Agreement. Yep, this is how the New York Stock Exchange started. That beautiful building that we see, it all started underneath a buttonwood tree where 24 men came together. And yes, it was men because they were the ones that were allowed to do the trading back then, came together and said, let's put together an agreement. And actually, I printed it up. It's just one paragraph. Let me read this to you. It says, we, the subscribers, brokers for the purchase and sale of public stock, do hereby solemnly promise and pledge ourselves to each other that we will not buy or sell from this day for any purpose, for any kind of stock, less than 0.25% commission, and that we will give preference to each other in our negotiations. And we set our hands to this on the 17th day of May at New York in 1792. So they agreed, we know how much we're going to now charge people to use our services, and we're going to prefer doing the trading with each other. So no outside people, just us. And they made this agreement underneath a buttonwood tree, and hence the name, the Buttonwood Agreement. And it makes sense, right? It's just a place where they said all the garage sales of things that are being sold, that are buying and selling, we're going to do it here in this area, and we're going to do it amongst each other. So people will come to us, and then we'll bring it to the group, and we'll buy and sell within there. Now, as time went on, we know that things evolved from just bartering, or I shouldn't say bartering, buying and selling tobacco or wheat or other commodities like that. We know over the course of time that it began to evolve. So by the time they reached the 1800s, 1817 exactly, is when they said, you know what? Let's reform this. Let's make it a little bigger. Let's make it a little bit more official. And let's make this where this is actually the New York Stock and Exchange Board. And remember, all they were doing is exchanging. And just like you and I, when we have too much stuff in our house and we go do a garage sale out front, we are exchanging. You give me money, I'll give you this good. And that's what the New York Stock Exchange is. People are coming in and saying, I want to buy this stock. And there are people who are saying, I want to sell this stock. It doesn't meet my purposes anymore. And then there's a buying and selling. And depending on how many people want it, let's go back to that example of the vase. If a whole bunch of people came to my garage sale and I was selling the vase for $10 and everyone's like, oh, I want it. They'd start outbidding each other. And the price for this vase, who I thought it was just going to be $10, will continue to escalate based on the perception of the people attending the garage sale who think it's so valuable. That's the same thing that happens with stock. When people are like, oh, I really want that stock. Well, I want that stock. And then they go back and forth. And the more and more people that are getting a hold of their financial planners or the brokers that are making the sales, or maybe they're just going online and doing it themselves, and we can talk about that in a moment, they're driving the price higher because they're seeing it as more valuable. But if we go back, A lot of times people, we need to understand the stock market is just the place where there's an exchange that's going on. Now we know it's at 11 Wall Street, right? We know that it's in New York City. You can go down there, you see the big bull, the big bear that's out, and that's a whole nother program about how the market, when the market's up, the bull uses its horns and it pushes the market up, right? So that symbolizes going in an up market, or the bear, when it attacks, it uses its claws and it pulls it down, right? So when we're having a bear market, things are being pulled down. There's so many different components to the market and how it was structured and the symbolism of it. But if we can just begin to understand the core components, it's a really big garage sale, right? Of people getting rid of things that they don't want and people buying things they do want. And based on the bidding of everyone and the frenzy and the drama and what people think is valuable will drive it up. And when people get scared and people don't want to spend money, they back out, right? If you are having a garage sale and it was in the middle of things going on, like the middle of COVID, probably people wouldn't be coming to your garage sale. People are nervous. They don't know how much money they're going to have. So they're going to pull back, and all of a sudden you don't sell anything or you don't sell that much. Well, same thing in the stock market. People get scared. They want to hold on to their money. They don't want to go out there and do that buying and selling. And we see the market go down. Now I know that I'm putting it in more simplistic terms, but this is really, if you get to the core at it, if you want to be crystal clear, that's really what's happening. When people feel uncomfortable, when they feel afraid, a lot of it can be the news media driven fear, but whatever their perception is, they react on those perceptions. They decide if they're going to sell, I need to get rid of this, I need to raise money, and they push it out into the stock market, right? They have their financial planner sell it for them. But if there's not a lot of people willing to buy, then they have to sell it low, because people say, well, you know, maybe I'll buy it, but I didn't really want to. But since it's there, how about $2? I'll give you $2 for that $10 vase. And people sell at a loss. Now, when we're looking at the stock market, just to bring this full circle, it's one where it opens up, kind of think of your garage sale. What time's your garage sale open? Okay, well, it's going to open at 9:30, right? And there's a lot of speculation. People are looking at your garage sale to see what you put out there, the kind of guesstimating if this is going to be a good garage sale. They do that with the stock market too. They say, oh, looks like this, the market's going to open good, or the market's going to open positive. So it opens at 9:30 and then it closes at 4. So let me just put a little comment out here for those of you who have a financial planner. Probably won't work if you call your planner at 4:05 and you want to make a buy, or you want to make a trade, a sell, something, because the stock market's going to close in 5 minutes. And to get all the electronic orders in and to get everything done, sometimes that can be a bit of a challenge. I know many financial planners will say by 2:00, hey, listen, if your order isn't in by 2, then we're going to process it the next day, just because of the multitude of orders that are going in. Because understand, the New York Stock Exchange is the world's largest stock exchange by market capital. So when we look at that, we've got to realize, okay, we're talking about a very big garage sale. So let's take a quick 60-second break. Then we're going to come back, talk a little bit more about the stock market. But here's what I want to talk about next. Once we understand the components and about the stock market, this exchange, then we have to realize, okay, so if all this stuff is happening, this buying and selling at this over-glorified garage sale, how do we measure it? Like, how can we tell if things are doing good and what things are really selling? Well, that's where the indexes come in. That's our ability to measure it. And that's where the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones Industrial Average, that's when they poke their head up. And we'll talk about that in just a moment when we're back with more Crystal Clear Finances. Although our nation is going back to work and the market is responding, how do you personally build your business, recover your investments, and restore positive cash flow? Evaluating the financial impact of COVID with a certified financial planner from Crystal Clear Finances can help identify strengths and recognize stress fractures within your financial plan. These critical insights can provide guidance, and with the right adjustments, you can confidently experience personal financial recovery. Call Crystal Clear Finances at 518-433-7181 and experience confidence for every financial decision. And we're back with more Crystal Clear Finances. My name is Crystal Langdon. It is such a pleasure to be here with you today. And of course, every Saturday, we love joining you, providing that financial information so that ultimately you feel confident. You want to be able to listen to the radio, watch the TV, and when they talk about the stock market, you're like, yep, I understand that over-glorified garage sale that's going on there. And I don't mean to be disrespectful in any way. I mean, I'm in the financial planning industry. I am a certified financial planner. I do the buying and selling. There's a lot that I'm involved in. But I also know that sometimes we can put things in all these different terms that make no sense. So why don't we just break it down and say, hey, you know how you do a garage sale? Stock market's very similar to that. Now, there are some real different realities that we need to deal with it. When you have a garage sale and it doesn't do very well, well, it's disappointing and it impacts your household. When the stock market overall doesn't do very well, well, now it can impact a lot of individuals across this country. So we want to make sure that we're aware that there are things we do need to recognize about the stock market. In fact, back in the 1930s, I find this so interesting, and I'll ask you a question first. So how many of you who have investments have ever received in the mail this little book? It's like about a 5x7. You open it up. The print type is probably, it looks like a size 8. Well, maybe I'm just getting older. Maybe it's a size 11, what the print is. But it's very small. It's extremely boring. And you know what? It is wonderful for putting you to sleep at night if you have insomnia. Well, this book is called a prospectus because when you look back in the 1930s and we had this exchange where they were going back and forth, hey, do you want this? Yes, I do. Well, perhaps there might have been a little over-glorification, a little embellishment on some of the things that were being sold, like this is the most wonderful thing possible. This will help your clients get X percent of return. You should buy now. And so because some over-promising was going on by some of the people that had agreed they were going to be part of the exchange, the New York Stock Exchange, we had the Great Depression. In the Great Depression, there were things that were promised from stock companies. There were things that were said, oh, yes, this will last so well. And they didn't. And as we went through the Great Depression, people lost so much money. People took their lives. It was just a horrible time. And so the government said, you know, I'm seeing this big garage sale here, this big exchange that's going on. I'm thinking we need to get involved because otherwise one side is going to be promising the other side that this works and look how great it is. And the other side buys it and then it breaks on them and it's not what they promised. We need to have a prospectus. And so when we talk about the prospectus, that little book is actually showing what the fees are involved with something someone's buying, what's the different stocks inside the portfolio that they're buying, who the fund managers are, what the rules and regulations. It's the little rule book for that investment that was exchanged at the stock market. And so when we look at that and we begin to see, oh, that the government got involved because they saw that there was no, this group was growing, the exchange was growing, but maybe we needed some structure. Now, if you've listened to me for any length of time, you know that I'm not a big one for having the government involved in everything. Sometimes I think, yeah, they got a little bit too far reaching. But on this one I have to agree because there has to be some type of regulation that says, wait a minute, if you're going to promise something to the public, if people are going to spend their hard-earned money, there needs to be some type of, and I know you can't guarantee a stock, so we can't say that, but the government is saying, well, then there has to be some type of rule book that you're following. And while you may not be able to guarantee outcomes, you can guarantee what your actions are going to be. You can put the rule book in place and so people will know what you are following as the guidelines. So I do agree they were correct when they put this in place and said, up, you got to start having a prospectus. So that I thought was a really good move that they made. Another thing that we want to, before we talk about the Dow Jones Industrial Average and talk about the S&P 500, I want to talk about some of the events that happened in the 20th century. So we're going to come up from the 1700s. We're going to talk about, yes, it started under the buttonwood tree. Then in the 1800s, they said, hey, this, we actually got something here. Let's kind of bring this in better. And so that's when they started the New York Stock Exchange as far as renaming it. And then it continued to build. And then we had the government get involved and they set guidelines. But we've had some notable events. And I know that there was the Black Crash that happened October 24th in 1929. I know there was Black Tuesday. So there was a lot of times when we see that the market was significantly impacted the participants who were involved in that. One of the things that I like that they did is they created something in the stock market called the circuit breaker. So what is a circuit breaker? Well, I can give you a great example. How many of you have a washing machine at home? And not saying that I did this, but how many of you have put too many towels in the washing machine and it starts spinning? And next thing you know, it's thunking, right? Is that a real word? Thunking. So it is. And it's banging against the wall. It's starting to move. And then all of a sudden it stops and you think, ooh, I broke it. Well, then when you go in, you realize, okay, it was so off balance. I need to redistribute, if I can talk, the weight within the washing machine. And then you go ahead and you say, okay, it's all set. And you turn it back on and nothing. Well, why not? Well, because during this whole process of being out of balance with this washing machine, you've managed to trip the breaker. And so now you have to go in and we have a little button that you push and it resets the breaker. And then you pull the machine and yep, we're back to normal. Unless we find that I really didn't, or not saying that I did this, but unless you find that you didn't distribute the towels properly and the weight is uneven and it throws it off balance again, it will trip the breaker again until you get it right and get it where it's the way it's supposed to be. Well, the stock market has trip breakers and they basically say, okay, listen, if we go down from the time we open at 9:30, the bell rings, da-da, if the garage sale is now open, you may now do buying and selling, exchanging of goods. And as that's going on, if all of a sudden the stock market goes down 7%, what they're going to do is say, oh, you tripped a circuit breaker, 7%, right? That it went down in one day from the last day's close. And they're going to do, let's take a 15-minute pause and let's just wait. Okay, everybody catch your breath. Let's calm down. What is the drama going on? Everything's not a crisis. It might seem it. And then they try it again. So they've done level one. Now they're going to do, try it again. Stock market keeps going. Goes down another, goes down 13%. Okay, we're going to take another break, guys. And here's the warning. If we get to level three and you guys can't play nice and get over the drama and just stop this panic, then we're going to turn this thing off. So then they start back up over the 15 minutes. And if it goes 20%, then they said, all right, we're halting trading for the day. Now, that's what if you watch on 9/11. Remember when I remember, because that was a day I was in there trying to do trades and I couldn't figure out why the trades weren't happening. And there was a lot that was going on because of what our country was under attack. So they've put circuit breakers in place. And I like to remind people of that because a lot of times people say, well, what if I put my money in the market and the next day it's totally gone? Well, let's look at the circuit breakers and let's kind of look at what's going on there. And that is a loaded question because you want to deal with quality stocks. You want to deal with knowing what you own. This is why I've chosen it. This is why I want it in my portfolio. Here's what its past history is, though we all know that past history does not guarantee that it's going to do it in the future, especially because life changes. The needs of this world and our country change. And so we can't say because something worked before, it's definitely going to work again. I mean, think of the big changes we've gone through now as far as even people working from home. I'm concerned about the real estate market as far as when it comes to the commercial, because a lot of companies had huge buildings, right? Because they needed people to come to work. And now they're realizing, huh, they can do that from home. I could probably shrink the amount of space that I need to be paying a lease on, and I can have my teams be working from home as long as they're productive. So things are shifting in the future. So if someone was saying, oh, gee, you know, commercial real estate's my entire portfolio for retirement, they may want to. And again, this is not advice because I haven't seen your situation, but they may want to be considering some other alternatives. And that's why when we buy things, we need to be sitting down with our advisor, looking at it and saying, okay, this was good. It was meeting my needs. Are my needs still the same? Is the economy still the same? Will the economy still need what I'm invested in? And if not, where is the economy going? And then we can begin to purchase the stocks that are in alignment with where we're growing as a country. And where do we do that? We do that on an exchange. And that's why I wanted to start today's program by just talking about the New York Stock Exchange, about where it is, because a lot of times people think, well, I'm just going to invest in the New York Stock Exchange. No, that's not how it works. That's just the location of where the buying and selling is happening. So let's talk a little bit. I'm looking at the clock and realizing, we're almost out of time. So I'm probably going to do another discussion next week, just because this is such a fascinating topic to help people understand. Listen, this is how it works. So let's talk about the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and let's talk about the S&P 500, because understanding what they are, and this is really important, what they are not, can help us sleep better at night. Now, when we talk about the Dow Jones Industrial Average, you'll see that, right? They list it on the TV and you see DJIA and you see it, and whether it has a green arrow going up or a red arrow going down. And we've all been trained, oh no, if I see the red arrow, that means I should run for the hills. Well, not really run for the hills, but I should be scared. Why? Let's take a moment and talk about what does that really mean? Because when it comes to the Dow Jones Industrial Average, or sometimes they call it the Dow 30, it is literally a way that they are measuring. It's an index that tracks 30 of the publicly owned blue chip companies that are being traded on the New York Stock Exchange. Okay, so I want to talk about this for a moment. Let me go back, and I want to look at how I'm doing on time, so I'm going to have to bring this to the close. I'm so sorry, but let's just finish with this example. If we have that vase, remember we were talking about the vase that I was going to sell at the garage sale. It was at $10. Well, let's pretend I have half of my garage sale that's vases, and I have half of my garage sale that is, I don't know, I'm selling empty Fruit Loop cartons, for lack of a better thing to sell. Well, what they're going to do is they're going to look at my vases that are selling for $10, and they are going to judge, and they need to look to see how good my garage sale is doing by my turnover ratio. And if my vases are on that list and I sell all my vases, but none of my Fruit Loop boxes have been touched, they're going to look at and evaluate my garage sale that way. Now, one of the things that we need to talk about is what are the companies that are being monitored in the Dow Jones Industrial Average? Because if you're not invested in them and the stock market goes down, the Dow Jones goes down, why are you panicking if you're not in one of those? This is just an indicator that says, hey, this garage sale over here is doing so good because I happen to be tracking vases. They're selling vases and their vases did good. But what if it was I had the garage sale and my Fruit Loop boxes did awesome, but because my Fruit Loop boxes weren't something they were measuring, they're going to say, oh, that was a bad garage sale. None of the vases moved. And I could say, but wait a minute, I made so much money on my Fruit Loop boxes. It's depending upon what they measure. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring this week's program to a close, and I'm going to invite you to join me next week, because we're going to talk in more detail about it. We're actually going to list what are the stocks that they're monitoring in this. But I do want to encourage you, if you are concerned about your portfolio, to give our office a call at 518-433-7181 and say, okay, Crystal, this is helping, learning about the stock market, but I want individual customized attention. I want to be able to sit down, do a confidence call with you and know, yes, I am on track for retirement. Yes, I am invested in the right sectors, and be able to know that you can go to sleep at night and you're doing what you need to do in the realm of finances. So give us a call, 518-433-7181, and I encourage you to join us on Wednesday on our Crystal Clear Finances Facebook page for our Wealthy Wednesdays, and join us again next week as we continue to provide financial clarity so that you can have confidence for every financial decision. Thank you and God bless.
Have confidence facing financial decisions. Learn the steps that are right for you. Visit crystalclearfinances.com or call 518-433-7181 today and schedule a free initial conversation. Discover the strategy that is right for you and reach your financial goals. Crystal Langdon is a certified financial planner, investment advisor, qualified kingdom advisor, and a member of the Christian Financial Planner Network. Tune in next Saturday morning for more Crystal Clear Finances. Investment advisory services are offered through Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Alpha Star and Crystal Clear Finances Incorporated are independent entities. The information provided is for educational purposes only and is not intended as investment advice for anyone. All information discussed is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. The opinions expressed are subject to change without notice and do not constitute financial, legal, or tax advice. Please consult your financial professional before executing any financial strategy.